So a few other things that I'll let you guys in on. For starters, for the launch Sunday, the 15th, if you're able to help us with, you know, setting up some extra things or greeting people, or just making sure that you're here early so you can welcome people that are becoming, because we're sending out, I don't know, it's like 5,000 postcards, and we're doing some social media pushes and stuff just to invite as many people as we can. If you're willing to help us or just start being on a serve team and helping us get everything going, if you could check with Nicole at some point and just going, hey, here's some of my gifts and abilities and areas that I love serving in, or areas that I'm good at serving in, and just connect with her and she'll help you get plugged in, and that'd be great. Another thing is, a lot of work goes into the sermons and the sermon series and what we're doing. So every week, I'm not going to say every week, the vast majority of weeks, we have a team that we get together during the day and we dig through scripture and really talk through a lot of the messages. Like, this isn't just all me that comes up with the, I don't know, like 87 slides today or whatever it is. But no, it's not 87 slides, Jessica, don't worry. Okay. It's a good chunk though, a lot of scripture. So anyway, so I have a team that we work on this and we pray through it, and a lot goes into it. But one thing we want to do is start before a series is going to kick off, is have an opportunity where anyone can come and hang out in my basement. We're going to introduce the series, and I want to hear your questions and your thoughts. It gives you an opportunity to dig in and maybe add to some things and go, hey, this is something that I was reading on and God spoke to me on. And we just want to hear what Holy Spirit's doing through everyone, and also give you an opportunity to, some people just want to come and just be a fly on the wall and just go, I just want to hear some of the conversation, and then they're going to dig in and do some more work on their own. So the first one of those is on February 24th. Is that right, Nicole? I think that is. 23rd? 20? It's a Tuesday night, right? 24th. I was right. Ha, Ashley. Wow. You guys write that down for me. So 6:30, it's going to be at my house. We can get you the address, but we're just going to hang out. We're going to be breaking down the Easter series. Okay, so we're going to be playing like a month ahead. And what we're going to be looking at in Easter is the cups of Passover. So Passover is this very, very specific festival that the Israelites and the Jewish people still practice today. And there's a very specific tradition that means a lot. And so we're going to break down the cups that are drank during Passover. And so we're going to be looking at the whole Passover experience as we're heading towards Easter and what would have been the Last Supper at that time and those. So if you want to join us and be a part of digging into that series, or if you just want to be the fly on the wall and just come hang out, or just meet some people, again, 6:30 on the 24th in my basement, everyone's welcome. So we're doing it in the evening because we know that not everyone can stop what they're doing in the middle of a Wednesday morning and, you know, come sit at my kitchen table and spend an hour and a half digging through scripture and hearing my rabbit trails that lead us wherever we go. So anyway, I wanted to make you guys aware of those things, and we'll send out through the newsletter a reminder about those so you can plug it in your calendar if you've already forgotten what I've said. So we're coming close to the wrap-up of Who is God. Next week will be our last week of it, and then launch is going to be launching a brand new series as we look at something that's going to be a core to us, and that's the Shema. It's a scripture out of the Old Testament that the Jewish people say twice a day, every day, from before Jesus even till now, and it's important, and it aligns us properly, and we're going to be digging into that in some great depth. But for right now, we're still in Who is God? So we started a few weeks ago, and kind of like in the middle of this, we came across the story and the account of the rich young ruler. And Jesus had this interaction with him where he said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus was listing these 10 commandments. And he goes, great, all of these things I kept. And everyone's seeing this guy is something significant because he's a good guy, right? We're all with me here. And then we get to this part where he says, fine, sell all your possessions and come follow me. And the guy's like, whoa, I got way too much junk. I really love my junk. I want to hold on to my junk. And I'm going to put it in this big big box, maybe this trunk, and I'm going to take it down the road. Okay. So he goes away and they're all sad and the disciples are blown away and they have this interaction. Jesus said to his disciple, truly, I will tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, real camel, real needle, little hole, doesn't work. That's the point, okay? And then the disciples heard this, and they were utterly astonished and asked, then who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And that's really where we've been here, because we've headed into this other thing of the disciples were there, and then Jesus says, hey, by the way, I'm leaving. And they heard this and they understood this because Jesus is there with them. Like, it's one thing to be the biggest, toughest guy in town because you're next to the actual biggest, toughest guy in town. Sometimes you can get a lot of confidence by being next to the person that's actually doing all the things. And then when that person disappears and you're all alone and you're told that you're going to be doing bigger and more amazing things and people's lives are going to be transformed because of this, and you're going, but wait a minute, I'm with you. And he's going, yeah, I'm leaving, but I'm sending another. And he says, okay, I'm going to send this. And he says, and John, he goes, I will ask the Father and he will give you another, a counselor to be with you forever. And remember, counselor is parakletos, okay? Is the advocate, comforter, helper, counselor, strengthener, supporter, advisor, ally. And so when Jesus is saying, all these things are impossible with man, but with God, these are possible. He's also saying, when Jesus, who is God, is gone, I'm sending Holy Spirit, who is there from the beginning. And he's God, and he's all of those things. And we now have strength to accomplish everything that God is calling of us. Because there's so many times in my life where I've needed a comforter. Where God's saying, Rick, I really want you to do something crazy. I got this cafeteria in this building in the town in the middle of Mattawan, and I need you to leave everything you've known for the last 20 years and go do something. I needed a comforter. I needed a supporter. I needed someone who was giving me peace and going, Rick, I got this. And God said, I got someone for you. It's Holy Spirit, and we've often left Holy Spirit regulated to something smaller and less complete, and we've often pushed Holy Spirit off to the side, and we said, okay, I understand Jesus because I got the Gospels, and I can account for Jesus because he was a person, right? Fully man, fully God, and we're like, I get this because I'm fully man, and I understand this. And we leave Father God as somewhat of a mystery, but kind of blanket all of God and the actions of Holy Spirit and the actions of Jesus and the actions of Father God. We kind of clump together, and we often give those to God the Father. And we say, okay, I can understand a concept of God, but we lose track of the concept of Holy Spirit, which right here and right now is God with us. And so we're going to keep digging in more and more into Holy Spirit and what it means to have Holy Spirit with us and what it means to have Parakletos, a counselor, a supporter, an advocate, an encourager with us always. So let's pray. Loving Father, we do praise you for this day. We praise you for the sunshine and for our ability to gather together openly and freely. And Lord, we don't take that for granted. We praise you for it. Right now, God, we turn our hearts over to you. We ask that you calm them and clear our minds and open our ears so that we hear from you and you alone. God, if there's anything I'm about to say or I've prepared to say that goes against your heart and your will, God, I just ask that you remove it from my mind. Don't let it leave my lips. And if it does, let it fall on deaf ears so that only your words stand true. We give this time to you as an offering, an acknowledgement of you as God and our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have Holy Spirit. And we see where we're supposed to surrender ourselves to what God is doing in our lives. And we have this advocate that lives within us and is everywhere at once. Remember, we went back to Genesis last week. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit of God covered the waters. And since there was only water, that was everything. And so the Spirit of God was literally omnipresent and everywhere, always at all times, and hasn't ceased to do that. And we see stories in the Old Testament of Holy Spirit being there in significant ways and doing significant things and speaking through priests and prophets and other people. And Holy Spirit has been around, and he's around now. But what does it mean to listen to him, to follow? What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Paul, in his letters to the churches, he often talked about the Holy Spirit, and we see this in Galatians 5. We see where he says, "I say then," this is Paul saying, "I say." So Paul says, "Then walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of flesh." So walk by the Spirit, and you won't do the things that your body, your flesh is wanting to do. And isn't that the struggle? As a believer, isn't that the struggle? Like, we know the things we should do. We know these things, and yet we still struggle with them. And we wrestle with them. Because our body, our flesh, we want that instant gratification. We want that thing that we just, like, it's right here in front of us. And we give into it so clearly. You know, it's that thing where the experiment where they take, like, an Oreo and a five-year-old, and they put it on a plate, and they say, "If you don't eat this cookie, I'm going to give you a whole package of Oreos. Just don't touch the cookie." And then they leave the room. More often than not, the cookie's gone. Like, they know they can have almost an endless supply of cookies, or a whole packet, you know, like a 3-minute supply of cookies. Okay? All they got to do is not do this. We understand that God's going, "Hey, I have great things in store for you, if you'll just follow me. If you'll just put aside the things that you think you want, but I, being your God, your creator, know is best. Just don't eat the cookie, and the amount of things I'm going to bless you with, the amount of blessing you will experience in your life is going to be almost overwhelming. The amount of peace and comfort that you're going to get, it's going to be overwhelming." Paul's going, I get it. We keep eating the cookie. We keep going to it. He goes, "Walk by the Spirit, and you'll certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so you don't do what you want to do." He's acknowledging that you understand that God has a plan for your life, and God knows what's best for you. He's going, "I get it. You know mentally what you have to do, but yet you keep going over here, and it's because you're not indwelled with the Holy Spirit. You're not following the Holy Spirit. You're not surrendering to God. And so we keep going for this shallow thing that doesn't provide the blessings." Paul's going, "I get it. I get what you're going through. And he keeps on going, but if we're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. We're no longer just following things, checking boxes, rich young ruler going, I've kept all of these things, but I'm going to hold on to the junk that I want to hold on to. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, immoral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, fractions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. That's a list. I'm warning you about these things as I've warned you before. And that's kind of a harsh thing. Like, guys, I've told you this before. Brings me back to when I was a kid. And I'm going, have we talked about this? Because we talked about this. But those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not enjoy the benefits of being part of God's kingdom on earth now and the blessing that comes with that. This whole list. And it just sticks out. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Like these aren't a surprise. Like if you saw people just out on the street doing these things, you'd be like, oh yeah, not Spirit-led. Like even people that don't confess to follow Christ understand that, you know what? We got a lot of hatred, strife, jealousy, and outbursts of anger right now. Selfish ambitions, those aren't good. Moral impurity, sexual immorality, dissensions, fractions. It feels like this is talking about our times right now, like on the streets in Kalamazoo. This is what we're experiencing in our neighborhoods in Mattawan. This is what we're experiencing. And he's going, these things are obvious. These are the things that we keep tending to. But yet none of us are going to say these are beneficial. None of us are going to say that these are peaceful things. No one's going to say that these provide anything more than a brief moment of pleasure. If we do something selfish, it lasts for just a moment. If we decide that we want to have hatred or strife or jealousy, we feel good for that moment, like we've just scratched that itch for just a second. But it's gone. We didn't accomplish anything. We didn't have peace with it. There's no joy to it. Paul's going, these things are obvious, guys. This is the flesh. This is what we keep getting drawn to. A life led by the Spirit is going to continue to be drawn to these things and continue to follow those things. And they're not going to find the blessing that's the kingdom of God, which is God's reign on earth now. The kingdom of God is the euangelion, the good news, the gospel of saying there's a new ruler, a new order on this earth. And if you submit to that ruler, if you submit to that king, to that God, to that Lord, your life is going to improve. The blessing you're going to receive, which is a blessing of peace and comfort that only comes from God, is coming. And he goes on, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now, if we compare these two lists, we can definitely find which one's better. Because who wouldn't love some joy? Who doesn't want to sit down at the end of their day and go, my heart's at peace? In the midst of chaos and everything that's going on, to be able to say, I can deal with everything the world's throwing at me, and I have peace, and I have joy. And there's goodness. I know that I did good things to people. How they received it, what they did with it, that I can't control. But I know that I spread goodness today. I've been faithful. I've been gentle with people. I didn't crack back at them. I took a breath. I realized that I don't know their situation, and I showed them love. It's self-control. Like, we can all look at these lists and go, they're drastically different, and I definitely want one, but one can only be achieved with Holy Spirit. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. And so Paul's sitting here and he's saying, guys, everything you need comes from deciding to surrender to Holy Spirit, who's going to indwell with you and live with you, and you're going to produce this fruit. But if you choose not to, you're going to keep getting drawn in further and further and further. And there's no joy, no peace, no comfort. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we understand the things, the gift of the Spirit, and the Spirit we're talking about is Holy Spirit. It is God. But then we sometimes get confused with, well, there's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we look at, okay, so what's the fruit? Is the fruit of the Spirit the same as the gift of the Spirit? And it's not. The gift of the Spirit is Holy Spirit living in us. Okay? When we believe and repent, Holy Spirit indwells with us. And we talked about a few weeks ago that repentance and remorse are drastically different things. When we live that life of deceit and hatred and anger and immorality, when we live that, we can often feel remorse for those things. When we're full of selfishness, we can hurt other people and we can be heading back to our house and we can be bothered by the fact that, you know what, I hurt somebody. I used somebody. I took advantage of somebody. I wasn't generous with somebody. I looked out for me first. And we can feel that and go, man, I shouldn't have done that. I know what I should do. And we can mope around for days. We can be a complete tool to somebody. And we can feel horrible about it for days. You could even see him and go, man, I'm sorry. My bad. And we just feel bad about it. And the next time that opportunity arises, we go back to the flesh. And we do it again. Because we've done a thing where we can go, I believe in the beginning God. I believe that I was created on purpose, by an all-knowing, all-authority God. I believe that God loves me. I believe that God sent his son, Jesus, to live a perfect human life, die on a cross for me, my sin was atoned for by his blood. It is done, and that gift is there for me, and I believe Holy Spirit's here. I completely believe in all of those things, and that's great. And we leave it there. It's another thing to say all of that and to go, God, I continually have hurt people and hurt you and brought shame to you as an image bearer of Christ. I have not treated other image bearers the way that you have designed me to treat them. I have not lived a life that's glorifying to you and worthy of who you are. And God, I am broken by that. And I don't just feel bad. God, I repent of this. I'm acknowledging the things that I have done to separate myself from you. And I need you to reconcile and redeem me. And that's the only way this works. And I have to kill the part inside of me that thinks I'm going to do this on my own. And I'm going to completely surrender and submit to the God that knows me and loves me more than I know me and I love me. And that's believing and repenting, which is different than remorse. And that's when Holy Spirit takes over. It says, buckle up, we're going to do some crazy things. Because when you give God your heart like that, he starts to go, look at what I'm about to do with you. Because I see all this trash you've done. I see all the things that have been done to you. And while those are very real, when you repent, you hand those things over to me and you say, God, I need you to take these from me, provide peace for them. And he's going to go, not only am I going to take them, I'm going to use them. Because I don't waste things. We redeem things. And we're going to use them for the glory of God to bring those into God's kingdom. And when other people hear your story and see your path and understand the things that you've gone through and the things that you've done, but then see this person that's full of joy and peace and patience and gentleness and self-control, they start to go, what is wrong with you? Have you ever seen that guy that just walks down the street with that stupid smile on his face all the time? Whenever I read the fruits of the Spirit, that's the guy that I think of. Like, does not have a bad day. I have a buddy that we always called him Smiley. Dude never quit smiling. Funniest thing is watch him yell at his kids with a smile. It was the weirdest thing. But that's the guy. The world can just be beating on this guy and he smiles. And the world goes, what are you so happy about? You start going, you know, I've done some things. Some people have done some things to me. Some of them I earned. Some of them I didn't. But let me tell you about a God that loves me. And we step forward and people notice this difference in our lives. Because when we believe and we repent, Holy Spirit indwells in us. John 16 says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, truth, there is only truth. God is the Spirit of truth. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. This is the Spirit of truth. Holy Spirit is inside of you and living inside of you. So when we get to those moments where our flesh is pulling and going, this is what you want. The Spirit of truth goes, no. This is not what you want. That is pleasure. I have joy. That is short gain. This is long gain. This is destructive. This is peaceful. This is you building your kingdom. This is God's kingdom where there's true safety, true joy, true peace, true comfort, where there's an advocate. And the Spirit of truth will speak into you, but you have that heart that's repented, that heart that wants to align with God. That's the indwelling. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit, is when we repent and we believe and we turn our lives around and we say no more. And daily, I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm going to go, God, you are everything. And I'm submitting my life to you. And I'm going to trust that you know what's best for me. And I'm going to live my life based on you, not based on a bunch of laws and rules, but based on what Holy Spirit is guiding my life to be. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, we get to experience the fruit of the Spirit. When we die to our desires, we follow God's desires, and we experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So often we think the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a fruit basket or a fruit salad. And we think like, okay, today I have patience. Okay, for the next 5 minutes, I have patience. And we see someone who may be very, very patient. And we go, oh, they got patience. They got a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we see it as it's a single fruit or pieces of fruit. Each one of those. We see this cornucopia, this basket. And we're like, yeah, I'm going to collect my basket. And we start looking for people that have the single pieces. Oh, that's a good person. But we start looking at a single fruit. We say, they do a lot of good things. But it seems like they do good things for selfish reasons. They keep all the commands and have since they were young. But yet, it seems to always benefit them. And we start looking at that fruit and then realizing it's fake. It can look good, but it's not the real thing. See, you know the real thing because when you see it and you grab it and you look at it, you're like, it smells good. It feels good. It's firm and yet soft, and it has a fragrance to it. And you start digging into it, and you're like, oh yeah, it peels. And there's this thing is with an orange and any citrus fruit, when you start peeling it, everyone starts smelling it. And see, the Holy Spirit's not a basket of fruit. It's a fruit. You get it all. When you surrender and you repent and daily you're going, I'm giving my life to Holy Spirit. It's not like, okay, today you get patience, but you're going to be selfish as all get out. You're going to be, today I'm giving everything to God. And when I do things, I'm going to listen to God's leading in my heart. And I've been spending time in prayer, in listening and communication to God. And I've been spending time in scripture so I understand what God wants to do in my life and what he's capable of doing. I get this and I'm feeling this. And you start looking at the fruit and you're going, man, this is great. I'm feeling it. And people around you are going, man, that's real fruit. I can smell it. And the thing about it is when you get into real fruit, like it gets on your hands. It's every part of you. I'm going to smell like an orange for the rest of the day. Because real fruit does that. Real fruit is infectious. Real fruit brings joy and peace. One of my favorite things that I do with my kids that my grandpa used to do is when we eat an apple. I don't eat a lot of apples, but I can't eat an apple without a knife. Like I just don't bite into an apple. I slice a piece off. And my kids know if I go and I get like a Honeycrisp apple, not like the little ones that they're just trying to mass produce, but like the real one, they're big. And I get a knife. It's like a light to a fly. To the moth. My kids just come running over. They just want a slice. My grandpa had 11 kids. I have like 50 blood cousins. When my grandpa would cut open an apple, I don't know that he ever got any of it. When I cut open an apple and I'm slicing pieces off, I don't get much of it. Because fruit is infectious. The fruit of the Spirit bleeds into other people. They desire it, they want it, and you get to tell them where it comes from. And then God's going to ask you to do some crazy, bold things. And you're going to be like, yeah, I'm ready to go. We're good. We're ready to do this because we have that advocate. We have that comforter. We have that supporter. And people see good fruit and they know good fruit. In Luke, they say this, a good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. On the other hand, a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. For each tree is known by the fruit. Figs aren't gathered from thorn bushes or grapes picked from a bramble bush. A good person produces good fruit of good stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil stored up in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood came and the rivers crashed against it, the house couldn't shake it because it was built or well built. But the one who hears and does not act like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it and immediately it collapsed and the destruction of the house was great. We have this whole book. Accounts of the things that God has done. There's this cool thing in ancient literature. It's called chiasms. And it's a story repeated time and time again. The names and the places are changed to protect the innocent, but the actions of God continually go. And you can see this repeat throughout Scripture. People pull away from God. God loves them, draws them back. And it's a God continually going back to his people, continually going. And when we spend our time and we hear the words of God and the things that Jesus is saying and going, hey, this is what I want you to do. This is who I want you to love. This is how you sacrifice to me. We're digging deep foundations. We're trees producing good fruit. But when all we do is check off our Sunday box and we came to church and we hung out with some decent people. Are we producing good fruit? May look good. The world may look at you and go, it's shiny. It's not rotten. I don't want any part of it. Smells like plastic. Actually, it smells like an orange because my hands smell like an orange. It's not good fruit. Good to look at. That's it. Cut it with a knife. No one's coming. Can't do a thing with it. If you're broken and starving and you desperately need something nourishing, this is going to do nothing for you. There's no peace. There's no joy. But when we follow God's commands, we start producing good fruit. Your hands get a little sticky. You start smelling like it. Slice off a piece. People come running. It's like, I need that peace. I need that joy. I need the person that can walk through a crazy, ridiculous world and not be bothered by it, but stay focused on what God has called them to do. And they keep loving people who keep hating them. They keep caring for people that keep pushing them away. They keep reaching out to people who keep hurting themselves, and they just keep going, let me pick you up and dust you off. going, why are you doing this? It's because I found joy. I found peace. I found patience. I found goodness, gentleness, self-control. Because I died to myself daily and I surrender everything to God who loves me more than I love myself, I can love you regardless of what you do or what you've done. So I have some really surprise questions for you. I'm sure you have no clue what they are. What fruit are you producing? Survey your life. Who's hanging around you? When you hear someone's in need, do they call? When someone's life's a mess, are you a safe place to go? Where even though they don't know who God is or don't understand God, they know that you're someone who has a joy and a peace in you that they just are just drawn to. They're like, I don't know why I keep calling you. I don't talk to you for years, but yet when my world is in shambles, you seem like the safe place. Like you're a place that can handle the beating of life, and I don't know why. Are you producing that kind of fruit? Are you producing the kind of fruit that makes people go, I've known you from before. You're not the same person. You're different. Why are you different? Now, they may say you seem different than the person you were before. They may go, yeah, you were a jerk to me, and this is the one I experienced a lot. For those of you who knew me way back, you may go, yeah, he's kind of a bully and kind of a turd. And it may take them a while to realize that you're different. And you know what? You earned it. It's a real thing. There's real consequence to actions. But when you have the Spirit, and you continually die to those things and say, I'm not that person anymore. And I understand they don't see that. But if I keep surrendering those things to God and I keep walking in His path, they're going to see it. And when that person quits going, I hate everything you stood for, to I desperately need what you stand on, you're producing good fruit. Self-evaluation this week. What kind of fruit are you producing? Do people smell you in a good way as you walk down the street? Do people, are they drawn to you for just a piece of the fruit? How's your foundation? What's it built on? We can believe. We can build our foundation on belief. But it seems like every day I hear of somebody who built a foundation on belief, go, you know what? I don't believe anymore. Because they go, why would a loving God do this? Why would God let this happen to me? And God's going, I didn't let this happen to you. You didn't actually surrender. You didn't actually repent. You just said, I acknowledge who you are. Your foundation wasn't good. How's your foundation? Belief is the start. It's great. You can't surrender to something you don't believe in. But if you believe God is who He says He is, then you have no choice but to surrender to it. Because if I believe God in the beginning created everything with His voice, and I believe that God did all of these things we read through Scripture including reconciling the relationship that I destroyed with my maker and creator when he could have easily just started over. Could have just spoke a whole new existence. But he said, I made you in my image and I love you and I desperately want to be in communion with you. I want to be in relationship with you. If I believe that God, then I surrender. What's your foundation on? We're going to have Amanda and Joel come up and we're going to sing another song. And we're going to do things a little different today and going forward. We gave you this connection card. And it has some useful things here, announcements and information with QR codes. It has stuff where you can make sure that we have your information correctly so we can keep communicating with you and be connected and be a part of a family, because when we're a part of a family, we look out for each other and we're there for each other. On the back, we gave you an area where you can write some things that God's speaking to you on. On the bottom, we have two really important things. What's your prayer request? See, one of the greatest things we can do is as we surrender and we produce this good fruit and we trust God, we also understand that he put us in a community because that's what's good for us, right? He designed us as community creatures. And when we pray with each other and for each other, it's all of us going, we acknowledge who God is and we're surrendering to the one that can do something about it. And I love you enough to pray with you and to pray for you. So that's why that's there. If you check the little box that I'd like to go out on the prayer chain, it goes out to everyone that fills out this stuff. And so you get to pray together, pray for each other, check in on each other. That's how we build community. And then I believe that God speaks to us. Holy Spirit speaks to us and is telling us something. There's a spot for you to write down what's going on, what God's doing. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing this last song. And I just want you to sing through it with a prayerful spirit of going, okay, God, what are you saying to me? Where are we at? What are we doing? Joel, what a fantastic song describing surrendering to God. Melt me. It doesn't look like what it used to look like when you melt it. When you say, okay, I no longer want to be what I've been known as, what I've been seen as. God, just melt me down to nothing and make me into something useful, something significant, something that only can be made by you. And everyone's going to know me as something different because I'm no longer what I was. And then fill me. Make me a vessel of Holy Spirit, carrying what God has designed and called for out into this world to be used for a kingdom purpose. Produce good fruit in me. Put my foundation on something solid. I don't want the things my flesh wants. But as long as I live as a fleshly person and I allow that to be my thing, I'm going to keep heading into the world of wanting those things that we all agree are destructive and horrible. You can't play over here and say, I want to be the same thing. I want to have control of everything I do. I want to be my own boss. I want to make my own decisions. But God, I really want your blessing over here. I really want to smell like good fruit. I really want the peace and joy and comfort. But I'm going to stay over here looking like everything that I've looked like. And I'm going to keep chasing pleasure. But God, I really want joy. It's not how it works. Over here is just believing and going, God, I acknowledge you can be the provider of joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control, but I'd really like to stay over here and chase pleasure. But I want what you can have, but I'm going to stay over here. You can't be in both camps. Because you're just building a really cruddy foundation. You're a tree producing some really crabby fruit. But when you're like, melt me down, destroy me, take me down to nothing, because nothing there provided peace. Nothing there provided joy. And just fill me with Holy Spirit. God says, buckle up. We're going to do some crazy things for the kingdom. And you're going to love every minute of it. So as we're working through and developing what the church service is going to look like, one of the things we've been really praying through, and you can sit down for a minute because this is going to be a minute. You guys are going to learn. I talk a lot. And they give me a microphone. And even if John shuts off my microphone, I can be loud. But we're praying through every step. Like, one of the things we realize that we get to do is we have zero tradition, so we can do whatever it is that we feel like God is telling us to do, however we feel like God is telling us to do. And we're not beholden to, well, this is the way we've always done it. And I've been really wrestling with offering, because offering is important. A few weeks ago, we brought out a card of New Year's goals. And on there, there's scripture and prayer and service and generosity. And these are all offerings. Because offering is anything you're giving God fully. God wants every piece of you. And so I've been wrestling through this. And it's like, man, we so often pin worship on music, but worship is every action of our life. We got to move it from just thinking of worship as just singing songs to worship as every step I take. And when we look at offering, we often think, oh, offering, that's just the money we give. And the money's important. I'm not going to lie to you. We have to pay rent. Thankfully, we haven't had to pay for snow plowing. But there's things that just cost. All this equipment costs. There's a real cost to doing this. And that's an important piece. But it's more, God wants every piece of you. And so as we are wrestling through going, what do we do with this? How do we understand that you don't get just to write checks to be a part of the kingdom? You're making an offering of every piece of you. The rich young ruler, his offering was the thing he was holding on to most. Abraham was told he was going to be made a great nation. As many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore out of his descendants. And then God says, I want you to offer your son, the thing you hold most dear, the thing you're holding my entire promise onto, I want you to offer it. So we added this piece, what is God asking of me? And that's our third question for today. What is Holy Spirit asking of you right now? And we put this on there to coincide with that, because that's part of your offering. So we're going to pass buckets, and guys are going to come up the middle. They're going to hand you a bucket. You pass it all the way in. You set it on the side. If you put something on those cards, we perforated them. You could just tear off the card, and you can drop it in the bucket. Say, God, here's my offering. I know you're asking me to do this today. God, I know you're asking me to repent. God, I know you're asking me to go to someone that I've hurt and try to build relationship. God, I know there's this thing that I've been holding on to where I haven't wanted to give you my time. And Lord, I'm going to give that to you. I'm dedicating this amount of time to you for the next week, month, year, whatever it is that God's pulling on your heart right now. Write it down. We have a God of action. He wants us to do something. It's never just sit. When you write something down and you put it in something, you've made a move. And if you sign your name to it, we'll reach out to you. If you don't sign your name to it, then we're just going to pray over it. And we're not going to bother you. But we're in community. If you're like, Rick, I'm really struggling with a lot of anger in my heart. I'm really not giving time to God. If you write, I'm going to give this amount of time to God, and you put your name on it, one of the staff, we're going to reach out to you and just say, how are we doing? Where are we at? Have you made time to have conversation with God, not just talk at God? Have you settled your heart and your mind enough to listen? What's Holy Spirit asking of you that you need to surrender, that you need to give over? Because God wants everything. So we have the buckets. You can put a tithe offering or a financial offering in there as well, but you can also put what God's telling you to do. And we have a black box in the back that if you don't have it filled out or you're not quite there yet, we have that in the back as well. So Joel's going to do one last short song, give you some time. The ushers are going to come forward, hand the buckets. If you're not ready, just pass the bucket through. You can put it in the black box. But this is a time for you to square up with God on some things. And also a time where we can keep each other accountable. Holy Spirit, we praise you for the fact that you are here. God, we just ask that you overwhelm us with your presence. Speak to us and tell us what it is that we need to give up to you. What part of our flesh that we just keep getting drawn to that, God, you're saying there's no joy there. There's no peace there. God, show us what takes us from believing to repenting and surrendering and being filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can understand what good fruit is. Make us aware of the opportunities where people are drawn to what it is that you are doing inside of us so we can point to you and to you alone. We praise you for your love and your faithfulness. The peace and comfort and support that you provide at all times. God, we love you. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you guys next week.